I know who holds tomorrow.
Concerns for persecution, and we thank you that those who are here found
I'm going to report enough this morning, and we pray that you be honored in everything that we do. We pray that we be a blessing, not only to you, but to each other. And we pray that you would give the preacher the words to say when it's his time. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Some announcements this morning. I'll repeat some of this in the morning service, but primarily for right now, obviously we weren't able to have our service last Sunday, but I have a birthday card over here on the organ for Florence. Her birthday was yesterday, and so if any of you would like a little, write a little note of encouragement to her, the card over there, and in between services, you can do that or after the morning service. So that's the primary announcement for today, for the Sunday school. Except for next Sunday, we are going to be celebrating our 43rd anniversary as a church. Obviously, the actual anniversary is 2 days before, but Brother Hitchens and his wife will be here, and we'll have our normal Sunday school and morning service, and then everybody bring some good food. We'll have that downstairs, a full meal, and the church provides everything else, as you know. So hope you'll come and join us. We'll have a good time next Sunday. All right, I think that's it for announcements for right now. Let's get back to singing here. Let's turn to 118 in the chorus book. 118, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. Lord's Army, 171.
Five of you. How about the rest of you? Glad to be here. Amen. Good, good. It's always good to be in God's house. And in bringing up our family, When our building burnt down, we had church in our home for 13 months. We had a six-bedroom farmhouse. Living room, dining room, kitchen was about 42 feet long. And it was 12 feet wide in one spot and maybe 14, 16 feet. You know, like the living room was narrower. That was part of the original. But anyway, it was big enough to put a fair number of people in there. And I liked it because I knew where the refrigerator was. And so if I got thirsty or hungry while I was preaching, I'd say, excuse me, just walk over here. They couldn't see this part of the kitchen. I could just go in there. No, not really. My daughter played the organ. Or was it a piano? An organ, I believe, was in there. And that was in the kitchen. She could not see the people that were out there. She was following my directions on playing the piano. But she was right there by the refrigerator. So she could help herself during that time. It's been an exciting life. Amen? We still got a little bit ahead of us, I hope. Some of you got a little bit more than what I have. Some of you have a little bit less than what I have. Just depends on how you woke up this morning. I woke up this morning, somewhere I said, with Jesus on my mind, I woke up feeling fine. And I thank God it was a Sunday, and it was just a trip around the corner. It was a couple hundred miles. No, 100 miles. Yeah, 90, whatever. There. We come back tired. We've spent this past week at a resort, Tuscarora. Anybody ever hear of Tuscarora? You all know that place, okay? Well, when you were there, it may have been quiet, but there were about 300 to 350 kids, depending upon which day of the week. They were there. And I have preached the first message at Tuscarora and then other camps prior to that, each snow camp. And so the Northeast Vision, Solid Rock Baptist Church, and so forth, have been hosting it for how many years? 20-some-odd years? A good number of years. Once I was young, now I'm old. That's an indicator of how long it's been going. It was great. We had folks saved, young people saved, and a great time by the kids. Many, many, many decisions made. And wouldn't have to talk much to convince you that it's a tiring time. We had a great service on Wednesday night. Testimony times and so forth. Service started at, about, I'll say, 7 o'clock. And it wasn't done until about 1:15. I'm talking about preaching. I'm talking about testimony time. I'm talking about prayer time. I'm talking about singing time. It was just heaven sent. And it was exciting. And I'm glad that it was not the first year that it occurred. The young man, Brother Charlie, who kind of heads it up, we had him flown in from Chicago one year when he was about 18. So he could do some of the things that we normally did. So I'm coming back kind of excited about what God's doing. We've traveled probably 3,000 miles since I saw you last. Just here, there, over there, up there, down there, around here, and whatever. Well, we spent some time in the Myrtle Beach area and visited churches there in that neck of the woods. And then this here Bible, I can't say I helped to put this one together, but Beacon of Truth is down in what town?
Florence.
North Carolina?
South Carolina.
And they have the Ministry of Bibles. And it's fun. So when we were there, we helped for the better part of a week. And anybody ever assembled Bibles? Yes? No? No? It's a fun thing. These are kind of like giveaway Bibles. This is in English. The other one was in Spanish and other dialects, languages. And when you put it together, it doesn't look like this. And they put a page on a rotating table. Some of you may have seen Lucille Ball, when she was doing the chocolates. You all remember that? My wife does it very well. I was Mr. Lucille Ball, whatever. And you stand there and goes around, just to say they started with number one, number two, number three, all the way around for a portion of it. And when it came to there, you pick it up, you pick it up, you pick it up, you pick it up. And so it's not a big deal. But if you miss one, then it becomes a big deal. If you don't pick it up in time, now it's over there. And so you run over there to get that. By the meantime, this one's going by. And I really felt like I was on the Lucille Ball show, I Love Lucy, trying to keep up with it. And but we did put down a good number of these Bibles. And these are sent, we put together 10,000 Bibles. And this one is English, but I think the other one was in Spanish. And they had a problem the last day. Somebody sent the plate that they run off the pages on. And they sent over two plates, the last two plates to put the Bible together. One was Spanish and the other one was English. That didn't work. You know, page, last page in English, and next to the last page in Spanish. So anyway, it's fun. It's fun. We had a good time. Thank God for that. So, Ma, I'm going to get this back to you before I lay it down someplace. Take your Bibles. Thank God for the Word of God. Amen. Oops. Just trying to save a step. Have you had a good time since we've been gone? Amen. You're quiet today. You're quiet. Are you tired? Well, let's get into some calisthenics, okay? This I'll pretend this is camp, okay? And you got to stand and you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's a big one. It's a big one. When you're with the kids, you got to try it at least. I'm a ping pong fanatic. Anybody like to play ping pong here? Do you have a table here?
We do.
Good. Let's go. They can pray for a while, and we'll come back. And it's always my challenge to beat the teenagers. And sometimes it's successful. Guy Bowman, everybody know Guy? Okay. Well, Guy spent a year, 13 months, in our home with his family. We had a subterranean apartment. Ma and I moved down to the apartment. Guy and his family moved into our house, the upper part. And we went down into the basement apartment. While he was there, we had a great time. If you know Guy, he's a little bit beside himself. The marbles are not all there. The elevator didn't go up to the top and so forth. And so don't tell him I said that next time you see him. I played 8 games of ping pong against the teenagers. 7 games I lost. I'm still feeling it in my legs. I didn't know ping pong was so active, on my legs. I played 1 game that I won against a guy. That felt real good. Real good. I didn't mind losing to the rest of the young squirts, but Guy, I was sure glad I had that opportunity. God been good in your life? Somebody got a testimony and say, God's been good. He took care of my rent, or God's been good. I was able to witness to somebody. You all speak from the floor. Can you do that? Somebody, I'll acknowledge it by like, hey you. I'm not going to point on you and say, hey you got to have a testimony. This young lady's up. Are you changing seats or you want to give a testimony?
No, I'm changing seats.
Oh, I don't know about that. All right. Praise God, you can see. She's praising the Lord. She's got eyesight. Amen. Good. Someone else want to get up and change a seat? In everything, give thanks. What are you thankful? There's got to be. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Songwriter said, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. And it's good to have a family. And it's good to have a praying family. You ever wake up in the middle of the night and say, oh, I can't go back to sleep? I think God's got you awake for a particular reason. Now, I don't know what your opinion is about falling asleep when you're praying. Some of you say, that's anathema. Other of us will say, that's godly. I wake up in the middle of the night. The only thing that get me back to sleep is praying. Trusting the Lord, rehearsing some Bible verses, just talking to God. And sometime for what seems to be an hour, it may have only been 5 minutes, but it is good to pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And we need to have that more in our churches. Somebody else, thank God for a blessing. Yes, ma'am.
To think that he would use me as a vessel for himself is awesome. And I just praise God because, last week I told the church that a resident of mine, he received Jesus Christ as Savior.
Amen.
And it was like I was on this man, I was witnessing to him for about a year and a half. And he finally came to the Lord. And then I had this guy. He's a guy that comes in to fills up our vendors. His name is Jeffrey, and his mother's been going through a lot and everything. Anyway, he said he had gotten. I'd given him some tracks and talked to him a little bit. Anyway, he had gotten sick. He said, "Sure, I got so sick." He said, "I was so scared." And he said, "And you know, I believe God used that fear and that sickness in my life." He said, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior.
Amen.
And I was like, wow, that's nothing but the Lord. It has nothing to do with show. It just has to do with being willing to be God's servant, and that the Holy Spirit and God did all the work. I did nothing.
Amen. Amen. That's good. Well, you're giving that testimony song. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing flood? There's power in the blood. Have you, you know, we need to recognize as part of it, in and by ourselves, we do nothing. But being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ then enables you to do what God wants you to do at any particular point in time. So we don't want to downplay the position that you hold today in serving the Lord. And the reason you have that opportunity, it's like going in for surgery and you're the surgeon. Did you wash your hands? Are they clean? Okay, we can use you. And God's anxious to use any of us as long as we keep our hands clean. But our hands are cleansed by what? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to live underneath the blood. We need to live with Jesus. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would. Thank God for them. And we're just going to... I think I mentioned it before. We're just going to ramble with Rev this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Many a time my wife has said to me, "Rev, you prepare notes. Why? Why?" And why? Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee." Not me, not you by ourselves, but he it is, Almighty God, goes with us. Goeth with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I want to pray, and then we'll go back into the lesson. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the saints who've gathered here in this place this morning. We thank you for the history of saints gathering in this place. We thank you that in this particular spot of land, someone had a vision of raising up a place where saints could come and sinners could be saved. The gospel could be preached. Folks could go out. We thank you for that. We thank you for the gathering here this morning. We thank you that there's no snow on the ground. There's no rain falling at this particular moment. And Lord, I pray for those that were ill and sick and wished to be here but couldn't because of providentially hindered. But Lord, bless them. And be with us now at this moment, I pray, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. I wrote on the top of my notes two words, fear and courage. Fear and courage. I think together we need to have, we can't be stupid when it comes to not being afraid. But we need to use some caution. And so I want to talk a little bit about the similarity and or the contrast between fear and courage. He is not wise who fights his own battles. Okay? I've got fear of doing that which is wrong. So I need Jesus alongside of me to contend with me, contend for me, to do what I need to do. But he's doing it. You follow what I'm saying? I've got to have some courage, but my courage has to come from my Lord as we walk together. I jot down here four things that I'm afraid of. I'm going to give you some guessing now, okay? I want you to guess what I'm afraid of, not what you're afraid of, but what you're afraid of might be, well, what I'm afraid of. I'm talking about in the physical, not so much in the spiritual, but what are you potentially or might be afraid of? Silence is golden, but I'm not looking for gold today. Yes, ma'am.
Fear.
Fear. Okay, you're fearful of fear. I'm afraid of fear. That's good. We'll work on that. That's good. Somebody else. What are you afraid of? Well, what am I afraid of? If you want to pick on me.
Afraid of heights.
Afraid of heights. How about the height's not so bad as what's the falling that I'm afraid of? You ever realize that right now we're up certain height? But that's right. Afraid of heights, fearful of heights. Amen. Yes, ma'am.
It's not the falling, it's the landing.
Amen. I've landed on my head and never hurt myself. A little delayed reaction there. Amen. All right. It's the fear of landing. Someone else. I jotted down here snakes.
Spiders.
There you go. Yes, sir.
Sickness,
all right. Yes. Tornadoes. Good. Did we tell you about the snake in the motorhome? Somebody said snake. Mine and I are sitting. She's sitting on the other motorhome we have. We have kind of like easy chairs in this one. On the couch. I'm on the couch. I'm somewhere she is. I am. I noticed coming up the back of the couch what looked to be and appeared to be a snake. Now, she's sitting on the other side, and I'm saying, Ma, I think I just saw a snake. That's the end of it. She's out, and I'll never see her again. She just start running. She, you know, I'd be right behind her, you know, run. And so I wasn't exactly sure. It was a snake. It could have been a mouse or some other type of rodent. So I said, Ma, I think there's something back here. And so I got my little light and my little camera, you know, one of them things, you know, no film in it, but it gives you the picture right away. So I leaned down and I looked down there and I took a picture of what I thought the snake was. And come to find out, it was a snake. Now, what do you do in a motorhome when you found a snake? You don't sleep outside. We try to get a hold of a park ranger, so forth and so on. They came over in the morning and they were more than four of them. Four big, grown, husky men came to kill this one little snake. It wasn't a garden snake. It was some other kind of snake. I don't know. But anyway, they came to, you know, yes, I am afraid of snakes. You want to know what happened to the snake? I don't know. Here, snakey. Here, snakey, come on. Somehow, somewhere, someplace, some way, he got out. About 2 weeks later, snakes, he must have been thirsty because it stayed in the motorhome, we believe, for 2 weeks. And we went to another park where water was, and it was falling. The snake supposedly could hear the water. He was thirsty. He went out to where the water was, and we haven't seen it. And to solve the problem, we really got a new motorhome. Though if you look outside, it's a different motorhome, so we don't have to worry about that. So we have certain fears, and it's good to have some certain fears. Would you not say that you train your children to have certain fears? Afraid of heights? Afraid of... Right. Who?
Make sure the kids stay away from the stove.
Stay away from the stove. That's, well, you have one that got, Yes. I'm afraid of snakes. I wrote these down. I'm afraid of lightning. I'm afraid of the dark. I'm afraid of electricity and the shocks. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. Be strong out of good courage. We need a standing army, onward Christian soldiers that are strong and of good courage. It takes a little bit of courage to leave a track behind. It takes a little bit more courage to give somebody a track. But we have found in our travels, it is dynamic to see how people just come around when they see us pray, when we hand out a track, we talk to them, we sing a song, whatever it is. It's dynamic to see somebody come and inquire and or give their testimony that, hey, it was good to see you praying. You know, and then talk about whatever they had to talk about. It's good. We cannot be, and we should not be afraid of giving a public testimony. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. I can do all things that I ought to do. The Holy Spirit of God will empower you to do all of what you ought to do. Not always what you want to do, not what you like to do, but what you ought to do. Tell me something you think as a Christian person you ought to do.
Be in church.
Be in church. Pick up trash as you walk along. This is God's country. Amen. Something you ought to do. Courage. We need to have that. There's fear and there's courage. Courage to do what we ought to do. We ought not be afraid to do what we ought to do. I jotted this down in my notes. He is not a wise man who fights his own battles. What does it have to do with courage? Hey, I want the Lord to fight my battles. Not for me, but with me. Some of us have become a part of that lazy generation. If I could just get somebody to fight my battles for me, if the preacher would just fight them, if the Sunday school teacher would just fight them, no, we need to be fighting the battles, but we're fooled to fight our battles by ourselves. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All the things that I ought to do, I can do. You can do, we can do, our church can do here. Our exposure to churches has been a lot, and this is not yours, but a lot have lost the vision, have lost the dream, have lost the desire of doing something. But we can do all of what we ought to do and all of what we need to do. Does it take courage? Are we afraid to do it? In the stage of life that I live in, it's not always so easy to go door-to-door visitation. One, if they have a big dog, I can't outrun it. But, you know, it's just not, you know, weather and all that kind of stuff. But there's a fear of knocking on the door and not knowing what's on the other side. Especially when the little voice on the other side says, he won't bite you. You see me running down the street. Yeah. But there is a degree of fear. Not only the confrontation that may be there. The capability of doing what you would be required to do if somebody knocks on the door. Now, I've been privileged to serve God since I got saved. And I am fearful of confrontation in any way, shape, or form. I do not like to talk in front of people. I graduated from a college engineering school. I told you that before. Got taken on Gagne Associates anyway. And I had to visit a plant and talk to the engineers there. And so they gave me the address. They gave me the room number where I was supposed to go. I don't know if it was once, twice, three, or four, or five times that I walked around the building to get up courage, to go up the stairs to get in there to meet the receptionist, to tell her, and then, up and down the stairs before I got enough courage to knock on the door. Is there anybody here like that? Good. We're in good company. The rest of these folks are fibbing. They just don't want to admit that they're, you know, not as courageous. It does take to live the Christian life. It does take some courage. And it is exciting when you exercise. You kind of like step out of that envelope. You step out and people join you. You ever just been in a place where you start talking to somebody and somebody alongside is a Christian person? They may not have the exact same theology that you have, but they know Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And they're there saying amen, or I'm there saying amen, and we're having just a little revival going on in the middle of a store or something like that. We need more of that. The satanic pagan culture has convinced American society that this is no longer a Christian society. But I'm believing that there's more Christians around than what we give credit for. I've been thrilled just, you know, going into the McDonald's or going into the restaurant and talking or whatever it may be. I still join my little lighthouse and so forth, and folks seeing that and they say, oh, no, they don't want to talk. They want to talk. So they're looking in a way for you to communicate with them. But it takes a little bit of courage. So which do we have? Do we have fear, you know, and courage? There are some things we ought to be afraid of. I jotted this down last night. And Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, I'm going to read it for you. You can turn there. We're not going to stay there at all, but you can turn there. Matthew 8 and 26. And he, Jesus, saith unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? As I said, there are some things that we need to be fearful of. But what we ought to be doing in God's perfect will for our lives, we need not to be fearful of it. God will take care of it. Faith is confidence in God's ability to do all of what he said he would do. The just shall live by faith. I'm sure everybody has a definition. But faith is confidence, absolute confidence in God's ability, not mine, but God's ability, not yours, but God's ability to do just what he said he would do. Faith. Fear is the lack of courage. You can kind of brave. I'll go back to the visitation. We started visiting door to door in our area, and I'm going with somebody. I'm going way back in ancient history, but if I'm going with somebody who's not afraid of talking, not afraid of knocking on the door, they got the Bible scripture down, they're doing something, boy, I'm brave. But I'm right behind him because he's got the courage. Now, if we develop courage, then we can take somebody who's afraid to knock on the door or to team and go back and forth together. Fear sees obstacles. I can remember going out on Saturday morning bus visitation, and I saw some obstacles. Somebody tell me what was one major obstacle visitation in the neighborhood on a Saturday morning. What would be one obstacle that I might encounter?
People not up.
People not up, all right? They're up, but they're not answering the door. People not up, okay? What other thing might you encounter on visitation on a Saturday morning? Say that word again. Okay, in the morning. You knock on the door, and that big old boxer comes to answer the door. Mommy sent him, daddy sent him, the kid sent that big old boxer, and you're running down the street, coward. That's what they're saying because they're in the other house. So we need to have some courage to overcome physical challenges along the way. Now, I'm not speaking here in an expert mode. I'm borrowing somebody else's character. Okay? Somebody else's boldness. You and I are going out on visitation. You go first. No, Rev, you go. You're older than me. You've been experienced. No, you go. You're younger than me. You can run faster. So you go. And so we're going back and forth. Come on now. But if you get one good house somewhere along the way, one good conversation somewhere along the way, then we're anxious to get to the next house. We're anxious to get to the next person. We're anxious to leave the next track behind. You know, some of us are still shy about leaving a track. On our travels, we leave a track with a gas station attendant. Amen? Good idea. But since my wife is so wealthy, she married a rich man. I said, honey, give me some money. And so when he pumps the gas, this will for you, but I'll give him $2. He said, that's nothing. I'll buy half a cup of coffee, buy the cream or the sugar or the coffee. One or the other, he has his choice. But along with that comes a gospel track. It breaks the ice just a little bit. You know, you hand him a track. Well, I don't want this. I'll throw it away. You wrap it up in a $2 bill, whatever. Yeah. So it does take some courage. All I'm saying to us who are a little bit fearful about stepping out, step out on the water. God's there to take care of us when we step out. And I'm telling you, I've enjoyed it so much on the road. In restaurants, people buy our meals because they saw us pray. That encouraged you to pray. But I didn't know it until I ordered my meal and I ate my meal that somebody else was going to pay for it. Because I would have ordered something different than what I did. Figure that out for a minute, okay? If you knew somebody was buying your meal, oh, T-bone? Sure, we'll have one of them. And No. It's good. It's good. Excuse me? Amen. Faith dreads leaving. Fear dreads leaving. Faith anticipates arriving. Fear sees darkness. Faith sees light. Fear runs away. Faith runs to the challenge. I want to have courage when it comes to doing right. Would you not think it takes courage? You ever been in a place where, traveled so many times, preached so many times, but we stopped to get pizza. And it was during the daylight hours. And when I went in to get the pizza, I looked outside and there was a car parked and there was this big bruiser there screaming and yelling at a young lady. And I'm standing inside, and there's a young guy doing the pizza stuff, a whole lot bigger, a whole lot stronger, a whole lot more agile than I am. But I'm watching this guy yell at the young lady. I said, wait, this ain't happening. So I said to the guy inside, I said, excuse me. And I walked out there. Look at me. Hey, get that smile off your face. I don't think it's funny. You picking on this girl? Do you know her? Is she your wife? Is she your wife? You don't know? Man, that's tough. You, is that your car? You, get back in that car. I don't want to hear a word. Just get in that car, start it up, and get out of here now. You understand me? You haven't said a word yet. Do you understand me? I'm shaking in my boots. The guy gets in the car. The lady's happy because we got rid of him or whatever. I go back inside to get to pick up my pizza. And the guy said, "You're crazy. You're nuts. You don't even know that guy. He could have pulled a gun and shot you. He could have done the same thing to that young lady." Did that take courage? Probably not. More stupidity than courage. I'm not advocating you do it. But there are times when you have to do that. I'm going through my notes. We're moving from one location to another. So we're going through all kinds of stuff. So we're going through my notes. And at Open Door, I walked down. No, it was Bible Baptist, I believe. But anyway, I walked down a set of stairs. And at the bottom of the stairs, this guy says, "I'm going to kill you." I said, wait. You don't really want to do that. He said, "No, but I'm going to kill you. You messed up my family." I said, "How did I mess up your family?" He said, "My wife won't go drinking with me anymore. She won't go dancing with me anymore. She won't do all kinds of bad things with me." He didn't use that language, but she won't do any bad things with me anymore. You ruined my family. I'm going to kill you. I said, "You really don't want to do that. Honestly, you don't want to do that." Now, it's a little bit scary when you're looking at it and talking to somebody who could do it. Takes courage. And you're not looking at the bravest man in the world. We're out on a Thursday night visitation, Lair Airport. There was a racetrack, but we're right by a Lair Airport. Before we went into the house, I said to the fellow that was with me, "Let's pray. Let's pray." While we're praying, you ever get that feeling somebody is looking at you? We're in the car. It's kind of like dark, just a little bit of light, but not much. And I said, "Let's pray." I'm sitting in the driver's seat. This other young man sitting over here in the passenger seat. And let's pray. I sense somebody is outside my window. I open up the window and literally, I didn't realize it at first, but there was a gun right outside that window. If you know anything, you wouldn't know anything about Walton. It's a racetrack. Automobile, cars, stock cars, racetrack. And there's this guy standing outside there. I said, "Oh, my soul." Then I recognized he was in uniform. Pulled out my badge. The B-I-B-L-E-S, that's the book for me. There he is. And behind, in the rearview mirror, you can see another one with one of them gun, shotgun type of thing. They are standing there. I said, wait. I'm pastor of. And I explained where we were from. It was at that time, it was Bible Baptist Church. I'm a pastor there. And I said, "You know, we're out on visitation and so forth and so on." So he said, "Somebody just did," I forget what the crime was, but he said, "Somebody just did something. And we saw them in a car similar to what you were driving. And we thought maybe you were the one who stole the bank, whatever." But it's kind of scary, would you not say? When you look down the barrel, one of those things. Does that stop you from going out on visitation? Just knocking on a door, not knowing who's behind it, is just a little. Greater is he that is in than he that is in the world. That doesn't mean do stupid things. But if you let your fear conquer you, which we have seen in our Christian community, because we have become scarce, we're not as bold as we were in days past. And one of the reasons, it'll be behind the theology of this, but one of the reasons we're not seeing as many folks saved today is because we don't have the boldness in the Christian community. Yeah. You meet somebody tomorrow, just in Calvary, Wisconsin. What do you didn't go to church yesterday? Are you serious? This is a free country, and you didn't go to church? I'm not talking about being obnoxious. I'm just talking about being bold in some way or another. If we don't get the gospel out of the church house, we need to keep it here. Amen. We need to keep it here. We need to keep it strong here. We got to have it here. We got to have it. Got to keep it going. But we got to get it out there. I'm sure I told you about Frank Seams. Tracks. My wife is going like this. She remembers everything I say. Yes, she does. Her birthday is coming up. She remembers her birthday. Whose?
Our anniversary.
I knew it was something like that. Can you write me a note? Yeah, can you do the shopping too? You can do the shopping, all right? Anyway, let's go on to another subject. Quickly. I'm going to give you, in closing, some time or along the way. What time is this over?
Quarter of.
Okay. It's not over 10:30. You got a ladder? I want to climb up there and change the clock. All right. A brave person always knows what to be afraid of. We need to know, as we mentioned before, we need to know, we need to have a reverential fear of the devil and sin and how enticing it is. How many of you ever had a piece of chocolate cake and another piece of chocolate cake and another piece of chocolate cake? You need to know that the devil's enticing. Sin, the first time you or I were exposed to it, I can't believe it. They had that on TV. Oh my. Oh. And now? Yeah. We're not watching Howdy Doody anymore, are we? And I've been notorious for knocking the evil out of the devil vision. Amen? I don't know how much you love me, so I'm tipping toe through the tulips here. But we used to call it the devil vision. That's three of you. And it still is. And it's a little bit more devilish today than it was when I Love Lucy was on. A lot more. I have aspirations of maybe coming back and preaching again here. So I don't want to be offensive to the Lord. I don't want to be offensive to him. So I must say, a lot of the rot, if not the vast majority, is so dense, wrong, wicked on that idiot box. Snip it. I mentioned to you snow camp, not this year, but going back in history. I brought a TV set. I didn't buy it. We gave free tuition if the family would turn in their TV sets. Free tuition. One family did that, and more than one family, but one of the families that did that, after the school semester was over, they came to me and said, "Rev, can I get my TV back?" Wait, that's not the idea. I don't take these TVs and sell them or remarket them or anything else like that. We just want to get the filth out of your home. We were at snow camp, not this time, several years ago. And they had a table there, so I took the TV set that I had. It was a working TV. It was a good TV. Probably colored, I don't know. Anyway, I didn't have it personally, but I had it. Took it, set it on the table, and took a blanket. And put the blanket or heavy towel or blanket over top of that TV. After I talked about the devilish things that they could be found on that TV, I took an axe. Paul Bunyan, I was. And I smashed the TV. I put the blanket over because they tell me there's stuff on the inside of it and all that tubes and all that kind of stuff. This was not one of these modern day contraptions. This thing had tubes. Why? Because I wanted those kids to see there's something wrong with it. Now those kids are being brought up by moms and dads who don't see a whole lot wrong with it. And we wonder what's wrong with America. Well, when you feed yourself on non-nutritious spiritual food, you're not going to be strong spiritually. There was a time when we would get spiritual accidentally.
We have mixed emotions concerning Billy Graham. But on Sundays, somebody who skipped church at least turned their idiot box on, and they got frustrated because they found Billy Graham on several different channels. Now, he's not our hero. I understand all that. But what he was talking about was the Lord Jesus Christ. And many would say, I wouldn't mind seeing that or hearing that again. All right? I'm getting signals. My time is up. Mana, I have signals back there. When you see her scratching her nose, she wore the skin off one time. Just means absolutely nothing. Heavenly Father, bless these dear folks. I pray that something was said. We didn't cover nearly what we thought we might. But I trust it'd be helpful, beneficial, a long life's past. Continue to bless. Thank you for the work that's been done, Lord. We'd be remorse. We'd be wrong if we didn't thank you for the saints of yesterday. Help us ever to be filled with gratitude for those who come before us. And Lord, the torch has been passed. It had a flame when it was handed to us. And Lord, I believe it's flickering right now. May this body of believers, may we raise up a strong flame. And may it be flamed with thy precious Holy Spirit. Psalmist said, sweet Holy Spirit, sweet heavenly dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. Do that for us, would you please? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.